On this day, December 14, here's some of what happened in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region. On this day in 1960, architect, writer and social commentator Robin Boyd's best-selling book, The Australian Ugliness, included Canberra's architecture and design in its critical glare. Boyd wrote that due to city planners' later decisions, Walter Burley Griffin's plan never had the opportunity to prove itself. The city had become ill-assorted. Boyd did assess that the original Parliament House displayed surprising clarity and strength, and the American Embassy was pure Norman Rockwell, splendid but cosy, imposing but friendly. But the administrative block, which originally housed military support staff and now is the Department of Environment and Energy, near the National Gallery, possessed a stolid, austere monumentality such as has found favour with fascist, communist and Australian bureaucracy. As for Canberra's embassies, Boyd assessed the South African embassy, for example, as old Dutch farmhouse colonial, looking like an inaccurately drawn cardboard backdrop for the finale of a musical comedy about Cecil Rhodes. Ouch. On this day in 1960, the Dutch Australian Club presented Tante Len at St John's Church in Reed. The Dutch singer often appeared with friend and colleague Johnny Jordan. She dedicated her 1956 O Johnny to him. Tante Len didn't perform publicly until she was 43, at about the time of that hit. She had worked at a cafe as a shrimp cleaner and peeler until customers signed her up for a talent quest. She finished second to Johnny Jordan and soon was known as the Nightingale of Willemstrat. On This Day is produced at ArtSound FM. Listen to episodes online at artsound.fm under the Programs tab. On this day, December 15, here's some of what happened in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region. On this day in 1950, at the 2CA Theatre in Civic, Canberra Repertory Society began its four-day run of Eleanor Whitcomb's The Bushranger, a play for children set in the Blue Mountains during Gold Rush days. The Sydney Morning Herald had praised the play for having most of the assets a play for children should have, including an adult cast, no condescension, and plenty of action laced with plenty of hearty custard pie comedy. Also in 1950, as the year neared its close, Mel Strawn, by his own account Canberra's leading teacher of modern and Latin American dancing, was a very busy man. You could, if you didn't mind the travel, attend one of his classes every day of the week, or learn to dance correctly from his book, The Fundamentals of Modern Dancing. Strawn held evening classes on Mondays at the Roxy Studio in Goulburn, Tuesdays at the Manuka Tennis Pavilion, Wednesdays at Ainslie Hall, and Thursdays back at the Manuka Tennis Pavilion. Fridays he held a medal class, and Saturday afternoons he was at Kingston Hall. On this day in 1970, at Canberra Theatre, the Australian Opera presented, as the week before, Puccini's La Bohème. Directed by the opera's guest from Italy, Renzo Frusca, it starred young New Zealand tenor Anson Austin as Rodolfo. He went on to 32 roles with Opera Australia and appearances with many major Australian and overseas companies. Also in the Canberra La Bohème was noted Perth soprano Glenys Fowler as Mimi. The performance at the Canberra Theatre was part of a full-scale Canberra season for the opera, from December 8 to 19, mounted despite considerable damage to its 1970 productions in a fire that destroyed Her Majesty's Theatre in Sydney in July that year. The season also included performances of Beethoven's Fidelio, Verdi's The Force of Destiny, and Puccini's Turandot. On This Day is produced at ArtSound FM. Listen to episodes online at artsound.fm under the Programs tab. On this day, December 16, here's some of what happened in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region. On this day in 1960, ceramicist Ivan England was exhibiting at the Canberra Art Club Gallery with his then-wife Patricia England. In 1956, Ivan England had been one of four founders of the Potters Society of Australia, which is credited with forging new directions in Australian ceramic art. England and his second wife, artist Beryl Anderson, later established an art school and gallery in the northern tablelands of New South Wales and conducted cultural tours of Asia. Ivan England exhibited often in Canberra at the Beaver Galleries and elsewhere, right up to his death in 2007 at age 91. That was due in part to his having taught here in 1952 at Canberra Technical College. While in Canberra, he made his first stoneware pots using clay from Black Mountain. On this day in 1960, the Theatre Players and the University Dramatic Society invited the gentry of Canberra, its vicinities, and the public generally to three nights of an old-time music hall evening in the University Hall, directed by Alan Harvey. At the streets of London, audiences were invited to hiss the villain and cheer the hero. The evenings featured audience participation in the form of peanut throwing and barracking, of such on-stage entertainments as a chorus line of moustached gentlemen and not-so-demure ladies in skirts that occasionally gave way to scarlet or black tights. A large lady in rose with pink ostrich feathers sang The Last Rose of Summer. Mr. Harry Schmidt, in the character of a mutton-chop retired colonel, recited The Charge of the Light Brigade. It was, said Canberra Times reviewer Sue Nichols, a thoroughly enjoyable evening of old-time musical hilarity, with audience members who responded with cracks as funny as any in the show. On This Day is produced at ArtSound FM. Listen to episodes online at artsound.fm under the Programs tab. On this day, December 17, here's some of what happened in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region. On this day in 1920, Queanbeyan's Triumph Theatre showed a variety of films, and as was the custom at the time, their length was stated in feet. The length of the 1919 feature, The Third Degree, 6,500 feet, or just shy of 2,000 metres, meant it would have run to about 72 minutes and have been on five reels. It featured Alice Joyce in an indictment of police methods of extracting confessions. Also on offer was One Thing at a Time, O'Day, at 5,000 feet, about 55 minutes of film, starring Burt Little as a serious-minded fool whom his mother nicknames Stradivarius O'Day because she believes he fiddles his time away. He falls in love with circus bareback rider Prairie Flower Marie. The Triumph Picture Palace boasted truly perfect pictures every Wednesday and Saturday with good engine, good operator, good music and good management. On this day in 1950, Sydney artist Norman Carter's great south window at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church was dedicated. It was a gift memorial to the late John I. Dent, a member of the church's board of management who died in 1942. Its theme is redemption, and its four panels depict the birth, baptism, crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. On this day in 1970, at Childress Street Hall, The Conspirators was staged by the ANU Theatre Group and directed by Anne Godfrey-Smith. It featured three love intrigues, two political plots, two matchmaking plots, one general plot encompassing all the rest, and a whole lot of hanky-panky, reported the Canberra Times. The audience chose between a happy or sad ending. On This Day is produced at ArtSound FM. Listen to episodes online at artsound.fm under the Programs tab. On this day, December 18, here's some of what happened in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region. On this day in 1960, the Star Theatre in Queanbeyan showed The Siege of Pinchgut, filmed in 1959 in Sydney by Ealing Studios. The Siege of Pinchgut depicts a tough guy criminal, Aldo Ray, whose gang helps him make a daring escape on his way to prison.
Where are you for, driver?
Sydney Hospital, bad burns case. It's urgent.
Do you mind if I take a look?
What's it in aid of, anyway?
Oh, we're looking for somebody. Not that poor beggar, though. Sorry, Doc. Righto, through you go.
An escaped prisoner, eh?
Yeah, he hopped off a train. They were taking him to Bathurst Jail.
Some hope you've got.
Oh, we'll get him, all right.
Good.
They flee by water, but their boat's propeller becomes fouled, and they drift to the tiny Fort Denison, Pinchgut Island, in Sydney Harbour. There they take its caretaker and his family hostage. A siege ensues. The tense thriller was shot all around Sydney Harbour and proved to be Ealing Studios' final film. Scottish-born director Harry Watt had made several documentaries during World War II, then went to Ealing Studios and made five films for them, all in Africa or Australia. On this day in 1970, you could dance to the sound of Astral Plane at the O'Donnell Youth Centre, admission $1. As one member, Rob Thompsett, later recalled, the band in those days played a lot of Jethro Tull covers, as well as originals, and went on to create a rock opera, Child of the City, with lots of T.S. Eliot quotes. The rock opera was so well received when it was presented at the ANU that the band hired the Playhouse and performed it again. In 1970, Astral Plane were the runners-up in Hoadley's Battle of the Bands, won by Gunther Gorman's Salty Dog, which played British blues and rock material. On This Day Now takes a holiday season break. It will return in the new year. On This Day is produced at Artsound FM. Listen to episodes online at artsound.fm under the Programs tab.